First of all, I want to wish all of the moms who are here today a very blessed and happy Mother's Day. None of us, not a single one of us who's here today, would be here if our mothers hadn't sacrificed to cooperate with God in giving us the gift of life. And so today we ask the Lord to bless all of the mothers who are present at this Mass, and also to bless all of our mothers who are not here, whether they be living or dead. May Mary, the Mother of God, intercede for them before the throne of her Son. Now, today also happens to be Good Shepherd Sunday. And in today's Gospel, our Lord uses the image of a voice, His voice, a shepherd's voice, to speak about our relationship to Him. I am the Good Shepherd, Jesus says. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. You know, here in South Louisiana, we don't see a lot of sheep. But in the land where Jesus lived, even to this very day, you see sheep and shepherds everywhere. During the day, shepherds guide their sheep to pastures so that they can graze and to streams of living water where they can drink. But at night, those same shepherds lead the sheep back into the village where all of the flocks are herded together in a common pen so that the shepherds of the village can take turns watching over the sheep at night. And yet that would seem to present a difficulty, wouldn't it? Namely, how to separate the sheep in the morning. After all, sheep look very much alike, and if various flocks are kept together in a common pen, how do you know which sheep belong to which shepherd? And the answer is twofold. First of all, to the shepherds, the sheep don't really look alike. Just like moms and dads, shepherds know their sheep and can call each of them by name. The shepherd is there when the sheep is born. He goes after them and rescues them when they stray. And when they are hurt or injured, he binds up their wounds and nurses them back to health. And so the shepherd knows his sheep. And secondly, the sheep know their shepherds too. And when they hear the voice and the call of the shepherd, the sheep follow him. No wonder our Lord used this image to describe the church and his followers. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. Following Jesus is the call that each of us received on the day that we were baptized. We may do it in different ways. Some of us marry and become parents. Some of us are single Christians. Some of us are priests, are consecrated religious. But what we all share in common is one essential thing, a call from Jesus to follow him and to live a life in intimate communion with him. Now, all that sounds very good, but concretely, what does it mean? In this week's bulletin, you will find outline 10 steps to Christian holiness, 10 steps that flesh out what it really means to follow Christ. These 10 steps are condensed from a little book entitled 10 Steps to Priestly Holiness by Monsignor Stephen Rossetti. When I first read that book, I realized that the 10 steps to holiness are really the same for all of us. And the first step is a very basic one. Namely, remove serious sin, mortal sin, from your life. Serious sin is the only obstacle which can prevent the grace of God from flowing freely within our souls. It's the only thing that can make our Lord Jesus and His Holy Spirit depart from us. Serious sin is like a blockage in our spiritual arteries, and it leads to spiritual stagnation and death. And so we must do all we can with the help of God's grace to let the Holy Spirit and the Good Shepherd Jesus Christ to accomplish the work of removing sin from our souls. This is why the gospel always begins with the call to repent, the call to turn away from our sin. And the second step follows logically from the first. Make use of the sacrament of reconciliation. Unfortunately, many Catholics ignore or willfully skip this step. And as a result, they don't make clear progress against the sin which stands in their way of communion with God. When we confess our serious sins in the sacrament of penance, we allow the blood of Christ to wash over us and renew us. And once we humble ourselves in this way and are absolved, we find that we are less inclined to commit the same sin again. The third step is prayer, having a habit of prayer. Prayer is listening to God and also speaking to Him. And like anything good in life, the habit of prayer requires discipline on our part. When you pray faithfully and daily, your life is changed and your heart is changed too. Fortunately, as Catholic Christians, we have tried and true methods of prayer like the daily rosary and Lectio Divina, which is the prayerful reading of Scripture. We have a whole treasury of formal prayers that lead us to contemplation, to closer union with God. Nowadays, there are also internet apps like the iBreviary that help us establish a habit of prayer. Prayer, both in public and private, is essential to following Christ. Fourth, immerse yourself in the Holy Eucharist. Along with the sacrament of reconciliation, the Eucharist is the means that our Lord intends for our daily walk with Him. In the Eucharist, we are nourished by our Lord's presence in His holy word of Scripture and in the sacrament of His body and blood. If you are missing your weekly appointment with God, that is, the Sunday Eucharist, then you will be missing an essential part of what it means to follow Christ and to be nourished by Him. So many Catholics today say, I'll go to Mass once in a while, on the big feast, on special occasions, on Sundays when nothing else is going on. But that is not enough. Missing Mass deliberately is a sin. Fifth, nurture good relationships and friendships with people of faith. How important that we try to surround ourselves with people who truly believe in the Lord Jesus and who are striving to follow Him. Nothing will lift you up like having holy people as your friends. It doesn't mean that you can't have relationships with people who don't know our Lord Jesus, but we also need close relationships with those who do know Him and who are striving to follow Him. Sixth, love the church. The church is our mother, the new Eve. She is the bride of Christ and she nurtures us and guides us. She is our spiritual mother. The world today, and the secular media especially, would have us dismiss the church and make Christianity into just another spirituality. A highly individualized lifestyle where everyone makes their own rules and constructs their own truth. The truth is, Jesus founded His church, and we need her teaching authority and her sacred tradition and her pastoral guidance too. Seventh, be grateful to God. Make Thanksgiving a way of life. If we take God's gifts for granted and never stop to thank Him, then we will not be close to our Lord Jesus. And so it's important that we learn to thank God, even in times of suffering and adversity, especially at those times. Eighth, embrace the cross. This is a very hard step, and we all struggle to do it. The crosses that we bear in life are never the ones that we would choose. And yet the cross is the way to salvation. Our Lord teaches us to offer up all things, even our sufferings, in union with Him. Ninth, trust in God. This also is very difficult. Namely, not to give in to worry and fear, but to believe that God has a plan for each of us, and that He is actively working to make all things work together for our good. Jesus taught St. Faustina, the apostle of divine mercy, a simple but profound prayer. Jesus, I trust in You. Can we pray this prayer with all our hearts? And finally, the tenth step, abandon yourself to God. If we go through life trying to keep God at a safe distance, inevitably we will grow apart from Him. We should never be afraid to draw near to God and to grow in holiness of life with Him. These 10 steps go together. One step leads to the next. They are the ways that we listen to the voice of the shepherd and say yes to His invitation to follow Him.